Wasn't that beautiful? I meant it for you. That was beautiful, and the words so meaningful. So happy Sabbath to everyone. Good to see you. Welcome to the visitors here with us today, those on the webcast, and any visitors there as well. Now, 18 months ago, I started a series on the Beatitudes, with the focus of making them the primary objective in our lives, and with the approach of looking at them in a way that we may never have before. Today, we will complete the series on the Beatitudes by reviewing, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." We will learn what a peacemaker is, and we learn how to become one. You see, this world does not know the way to peace, but we are to be ambassadors for peace, to be peacemakers. We therefore must have peace. You can't give what you don't have. And we must be at peace. And the only way to do this is to become a part of the peace team. Having the God of peace and the Prince of peace reflect and magnify their peace through us to others. I will tell you about the peace team in a minute and how can we become a part of their team. But first, a story. The year 1978, the occasion, my third Festival of Tabernacles, the place, Jerusalem. Now, those days, there were booby traps everywhere. There probably still are. The country was still being shelled from certain parts of the Golan Heights, Lebanon, still is from the Gaza Strip. To top it off, the bus driver had a machine gun on the dashboard. That afternoon, as we were driving from Ben Gurion Airport towards Jerusalem, we reached the crest of a hill and the bus stopped. The guide pointed off in the distance below as we got our first view of the city of Jerusalem. The sun was hitting it at just the right angle, giving us perfect photo opportunities. While seated there with that beautiful, captivating sight, our guide said, "For thousands of years, millions of people have longed to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, to gaze their eyes on what we are looking right now. But many of them are not able to." And he proceeded from them on to address us the rest of the trip as Jerusalem pilgrims. As the bus rolled on, he told us the following story. He said, "Now, you all come from the United States, you listen to the news, you look at TV, and you hear they tell you of all the problems and all the bombs and so on happening here. But let me tell you something. In Israel, we have peace. Peace of Syria, peace of Egypt, peace of Jordan." Okay. Now, all kidding aside, there is so much bandied about in our world about peace, but as stated in Isaiah 59:8, the way to peace they have not known. Many of us remember the story, the phrase, "peace in our time." The phrase "peace in our time" was spoken on September 30, 1938 by British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain in his speech concerning the Munich Agreement and the Anglo-German Declaration. It is primarily remembered for its ironic value. Less than a year after the agreement, Europe was plunged into World War III by Germany's aggression. So the way to peace, they have not known. We read that in Isaiah 59:8, and I'll ask with your permission to reference quite a few of the scriptures because we'll run out of time. So with Neville Chamberlain's Peace in Our Time, with peace movements that have come and gone over the years, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, we're told, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. So in the time that remains, let's find out what the peace team is and the 6 steps we must follow in order to become a part of that team. For blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. So we will do so by looking again, like I said, at the Beatitudes in a way we may never have looked at them before. So here are the 6 steps. The first step to becoming a peacemaker: become poor in spirit. Present our bodies a living sacrifice every day. Because the ego, our ego, with our ego, this can't be peace. And if there can't be peace in ourselves, we can't become peacemakers. So our very first step is to become poor in spirit by presenting ourselves, our egos, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Step number 2, mourn. And you'll notice I'm going through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn. Mourn. Mourn for yourself, mourn for your children, mourn for God's church, mourn for the world. And for our purposes here today, let us define mourn as godly sorrow that leads to repentance. So when we grow in godly sorrow that leads to our repentance, we begin looking at others in a different way. Without looking at them in that way, they really can't be peace. And we really can't be true peacemakers. Step number 3, become meek. And for our purpose today, meekness is defined as a life that's purposed on what God wants, on total submission to God. Meekness defines our relationship to God. Meekness defines God's relationship to us. And as we found out when we went through the sermon on Blessed are the Meek, meekness defines our relationship with others as well. And like I said, a lot of these, I'm not referring to the scriptures because I'd like you to go back and review these. And at the end, I'll tell you why and I'll tell you how. Meekness defines, like I said, our relationship to God, God's relationship to us. He says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Who wants what God wants? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this is the third step of becoming a part of the peace team. Like is stated in Micah 6:8, walk humbly before God, meekness, because this is what God is looking for. To this man will I look, him that is meek and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. And it is with that meekness that we can have peace with God, we can have peace within ourselves, we can have peace with those around us, and we can be true, effective peacemakers. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness. When we went through our series on the Beatitudes, we started off by defining righteousness. And at that time, if you remember, the righteousness of God, we reviewed, is equal the wisdom of God, is equal the fear of God. So when we hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we hunger and thirst after the wisdom of God, in Proverbs we are told, wisdom, all her ways are righteousness, and all her paths are peace. You'll find that in Proverbs 3, verses 17 to 19. So in pursuing the wisdom of God, by its very nature, wisdom, its ways are righteousness, and the righteousness of God is the wisdom of God, and all her paths are peace. So we'll be on the path of peace, the path to peace, peacemakers. Become merciful. God's mercy to us is dependent on how we allow him to reflect his mercy through us. There can be no peace without mercy. Mercy is not something you do to a person, it's something you do for a person. But God's mercy endures forever. So if we allow God's mercy to be reflected through us forever, then we will be peacemakers forever in this life and in the life to come. The sixth step to becoming a peacemaker is to be pure in heart, to become pure in heart. And 1 John 3:3, we are told, and every man that has this hope in him, this hope of becoming a peacemaker, purifies himself, even as God is pure. So, number seven, the peace team. In 1 Thessalonians 5:3, God is referred to as the God of peace. In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus, we're told, will be called the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 60:26-3, I alluded to that before, he will keep us in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on him. In John 14:27, he will give us that peace, and that's how he will keep us in that peace. That's how we become a part of the peace term, of the peace team, the very first few steps. But we really become a part of that team through reconciliation. And once we start on that journey of making the Beatitudes be attitudes, our attitudes, the attitudes that we be or become, then our reconciliation to God begins. So let's look at Romans 5:1 and see how that starts. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So once we start the journey with the help of God's Holy Spirit, we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew 6:12, as an ambassador of peace, we initiate that reconciliation, as we read in Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. peacemakers. And then we begin our ministry of reconciliation, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 to 19. And that reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation." So he wants us to be peacemakers, and we do that through the ministry of reconciliation. So how do we reconcile? Let's look at Matthew 18, 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Familiar verse, we hear it all the time, but we review it in the context of being a peacemaker. "Moreover, if a brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he will hear you, you have gained him." You have created circumstances for peace. You have done your duty as a peacemaker. Let's turn back to Matthew 5. And look at verses 22 to 25. "But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire," as was brought out in this sermonette. It's the thought that leads to the action. "Therefore," verse 23, "if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly." And that's the foundation for peacemaking. Agree with thy adversary quickly. Romans 18:12, we don't have to turn there, but it says, "As far as lies within you, live peaceably with all men." And Jesus summed it up in his prayer, John 17, verses 20 to 23. We can look at that, John 17, verses 20 to 23. "I pray not for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they shall be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I gave them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you and have loved them as you have loved me." Just listening to those words makes you feel that you are part of a team, the peace team. So that is how the God of peace and the Prince of Peace reflects and magnifies their peace through us to others, our mates, our children, the church, the world. That is how we become a part of the peace team. Now, what practical system can we follow to make the Beatitudes our way of life? We can learn from the example of Benjamin Franklin. And many of you have read his autobiography or learned about him in school. Benjamin Franklin had 13 virtues that he wanted to inculcate into his life. So here's what he did. 13 he chose because that fit neatly on the calendar. And so every week he would focus on a virtue and try to make that a part of his life. So for 13 weeks, he would go through the 13 virtues and then start the cycle all over again. And as far as I understand, he did that the rest of his life. Now here's a system we might follow for the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, God has given us 7 virtues, and they fit very neatly into his weekly cycle. But here's what we know. It takes 3 weeks to develop a habit. It takes 3 months to consolidate that habit. It takes a year for that habit to become second nature. Second nature means you do it without thinking. It's like what we do most of the time. Most times we do things, we don't think about them. It's just a habit, okay? So if we want the Beatitudes to become our habit, the way we be Beatitudes, our way of life, then let us commit to setting up a program so that can happen in our lives. Every day, focus on one of the Beatitudes. Think about it through the day. See how you are doing in relation to that Beatitude. No, you're not going to be perfect the first day. You're not going to be perfect for years. But if it is a point of focus for you, you will be doing what we are told to do, grow in grace. It's a growth process. But unless we are feeding that process, growth is not going to happen. It doesn't work that way. So we have a 7-day cycle, we have 7 Beatitudes, and now we have a plan that we can put them into practice, and a plan that over time they can become second nature in our lives. After the first year, we can repeat that, or we can, whatever system works for us. We might say, you know, there's 7 holy days, again, 7, cycle of 7. Each holy day, I'll review one of these Beatitudes, refresh my memory on it, and recommit to making it a part of my life. There's no right or wrong way. I'm just giving you some ideas that you might use to do that. Love and peace are intertwined. The two great commandments, love to God and love to neighbor, can be equal to peace with God and peace with neighbor. Love does no ill to his neighbor, for love is the fulfilling of the law. Peace does no ill to his neighbor. Peace is the fulfilling of the law. There cannot be love without peace, and there cannot be true peace without love. So here are some questions we need to be asking ourselves and ask them every day. Am I daily presenting my body a living sacrifice and becoming poor in spirit? Do I mourn daily for myself, my children, the church, the world? Am I showing that godly sorrow that keeps me in a constant state of repentance? That's what helped make David a man after God's own heart. Next, do I focus every day on what God wants? Am I maintaining a meek and contrite spirit? It is to this man, this person, that God looks. Do I daily hunger and thirst after righteousness, the righteousness of the kingdom, the wisdom of God, the fear of God? In Ecclesiastes 12:13, we're told that is our whole duty. That's why we're here. That's why God made us. Solomon came to the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, obey him, it's the whole duty. How am I doing on that point? Next, do I hunger and thirst after the righteousness of the kingdom, the wisdom of God? I think we just went over that. Do I look at others from the heart and magnify God's mercy through me to them? He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And with that approach and that attitude, peace is inevitable. You'll be a peacemaker, or you'll be on the way to becoming a peacemaker with all the other ingredients, if you will. Is this hope of becoming a peacemaker burning in my heart so that I purify myself daily, even as God is pure? If I do these things, then and only then will I be a true ambassador for peace, a member of the peace team. So as we prepare for the fall festival season, especially the Festival of Tabernacles, which pictures not only a time when peace will cover the earth as the ocean covers the sea, but a time when we will fully be inducted into the peace team as peacemakers. As God said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.